Thank you for joining us today for a good word for today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel Radio. And what a joy it is to come and open God's word and to speak from God's word. You know, we always need to be speaking from God's word. We always need to be speaking God's word. And you may notice that my prayer is always, Father, may I not speak my own words, but Holy Spirit, speak in me and speak through me. Oh, my friend, that's my prayer. That's my goal. That's my purpose, to lift up the name of Jesus, to give glory and honor to God our Father. Let's go to prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for today, and thank you for the wonderful blessings that you have given to all of us as your children. Thank you, Father, for the home that awaits us. But most of all, Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his obedience to your will. Your will was for him to go to the cross, to lay down his life, to shed his blood for the remission of sin. And Father, we're so grateful for that today. We're so thankful that Jesus was willing to go to the cross. So we just praise you today and thank you for every blessing. And Father, today, as I open your word today and as our listeners open the word with me to the book of 1 Peter, Father, may your Holy Spirit speak through me today. Speak the words that are pleasing to you. Speak the words of your Bible, the word that you've given to us. So Holy Spirit, speak to us today. May the words that I say not be my own, but may they be yours. Be free to use my voice, Holy Spirit, as weak as it is. May it be for the glory of God and for the lifting of the name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, where we'll start today. And let's just take a few moments to review what we did in our last session together. We're speaking on the subject of suffering, persecution, tribulation, trials, all of these things that we go through as children of God. Now, as Peter points out in chapter 4, verse 12, he says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Now, Peter is pointing out that the fiery ordeal that we go through, the persecution that we experience as children of God, the suffering that we go through, the temptations that we endure, all that is a part of our being a child of God, is something that we should expect. It's something that is a part of the life of a Christian. I get so disturbed, really, at those preachers who try to preach that if you're a child of God, everything is going to be wonderful and peaceful and glorious, and there's no suffering. And if you're suffering, it's because of some sin you did. If you're going through some kind of problem, it's because your faith is not strong enough. That is just not true, dear friend. God's word makes it clear that we are to go through suffering. We're to go through tribulation. As Peter identifies it here in verse 12, chapter 4 of 1 Peter, it is a fiery ordeal among you. That fiery ordeal is persecution. It is suffering. It is a temptation that comes our way. We must remember that God has his purpose for our lives, and then the devil has his purpose for our lives. Now, remember, the devil is a counterfeit. And just as God works through his people and through the church and through individual members of the body during this church age. Remember, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 tells us very clearly that in this church age, God's purpose is to show his power, to show his nature through the church. In other words, God has told us that in this church age that we now live, he will work primarily through the body of Christ, primarily through church members, individual members, and members collectively. Now, God has told us clearly in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, that in this church age, that's the primary way he's going to work. So that's the primary way we should look for him to work and expect him to work, through others. That's God's way of blessing and blessing others and blessing you being blessed by being a blessing to others. You know, we sow, we reap, and we reap what we sow, and we reap sometime after we sow, and we reap more than we sow. Those are the three parts to the law of sowing and reaping. We sow friendship, we reap friendship. We sow loneliness, we reap loneliness. So many people sow the very thing that they don't want. They sow loneliness. They're wanting friendship, but they're sowing loneliness, you see. The thing to do if you're lonely is to take the initiative, pick up the phone, go for a visit, befriend somebody else. Pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm just thinking about you. Hope you're doing all right. Just wanted to hear from you, and I've been praying for you. You know, that's sowing seeds of kindness, sowing seeds of blessing, sowing seeds of friendship. And yet, so many people in that sense, they sit and wait for the phone to ring. They wait for somebody to come and sow something in their lives. Well, we don't reap until we sow. And we reap what we sow. So if we're lonely, we better be careful not to sow loneliness. We'll just reap more loneliness. If we're lonely, we need to sow friendship and be a friend to somebody else. And then we'll reap friendship. We reap what we sow. If we sow good things, we reap good things. If we sow finances, we reap finances. If we sow anger, we reap anger. If we sow discouragement, we'll reap discouragement. We reap what we sow. That's God's law of sowing and reaping. And remember the three parts. We reap what we sow. We reap sometime after we sow, and that's in God's time. In fact, he says in Galatians chapter 6 that we will reap in due season if we faint not, meaning that many just give up and go away, and the crop comes in, and they're not there to get it and not there to enjoy it. So somebody else does. So we reap in due season if we faint not, and that's in God's season. So we reap sometime after we sow. That's part number two to the law of sowing and reaping. And part number three is that we reap more than we sow. God multiplies it. Now think of it. If we go around sowing loneliness, we're going to reap loneliness, and we're going to reap more loneliness than we're sowing. And that's not what we want, is it? If we're lonely, we want friendship. We want care and compassion and love from somebody else. Well, then those are the things we need to sow. If we're lonely, we need to sow friendship, and we'll reap friendship. Let's sow care and compassion and love, and we'll reap those things, you see. It's just God's law, and we're not going to break it. So many of us sow loneliness, and that's not what we want to reap at all, but that's what we're going to reap if we continue to sow that. So many get into that self-pitying mode and say, oh, woe is me. Nobody calls me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody visits me. Well, what are you sowing? You're sowing despair. You're sowing discouragement. You're saying, nobody loves me. That's what you're sowing, and that's what you're going to get. Oh, it's so clear. But boy, do we mess it up as human beings, don't we? The devil helps us a lot in that respect, you see. So the devil wants to keep us lonely. He doesn't want us to sow friendship, so we'll be reaping friendship. So he encourages us in our lonely. Oh, you're right to feel this way. Just look at all you've done, and nobody cares, and nobody responds, and nobody calls you, and nobody comes to visit you. The devil will encourage that. But my friend, we need to snap out of it and realize that we reap what we sow. Stop sowing negative stuff. Stop sowing a negative attitude. Stop sowing self-pity. You know, when we sow self-pity, we're going to reap self-pity. Oh, goodness gracious. My purpose today is not to preach a message on sowing and reaping, but this is so important, my friend. It is so basic. We reap what we sow. And this is true in our lives, my friend. So much of the suffering we go through is a result of our reaping what we have sown. You see, we go steal something, for example. We're probably going to suffer. We'll get caught. We'll get charged by the law. We'll have to pay a penalty. We may go to jail. All that's a result of our suffering. We brought it on. It's a result of what we sow. It's our own fault. We brought it on. That's one kind of suffering. And Peter actually charges us in verse 15 and following. He says, "By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler, a gossiper." So don't let yourself be caught in the situation of having to suffer because of your own actions, because of reaping what you've sown. But he says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, as a child of God, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, let him not feel ashamed. But in that name, in the name of Christ, let him glorify God. And then down in verse 19, he says, therefore, let all those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful creator in doing what is right. Now, wait a minute. Did I read what I thought I read there in verse 19? Those who suffer according to the will of God? Is it God's will for us to suffer? The answer is yes. Yes. Let's just get over it, my friend. God, part of God's purpose in growing us and maturing us is for us to suffer. Why? God looks upon it as a test, all of our suffering. He looks upon it as a test. He's promised to give us the grace we need to go through this, to get on to the other side of this, not to dwell in it, not to stay in it, but to get through it. His desire is for us to go through it and get over to the other side. And in that process, he is working on us to mature us, to grow us, to make us a little bit more like Christ. God's purpose is to use every bit of our suffering, every bit of our persecution, for our benefit. It's a test from God's point of view for us to pass. Now remember, from the devil's point of view, it's not a test at all. The devil brings the suffering on. I don't believe there's any suffering that is put on us by God that I can find in the Scripture. There are the times when God permits the devil to bring the suffering our way. In fact, I believe it's true when we can say that anything that comes our way, any kind of suffering, any kind of temptation, any kind of persecution, before it comes our way, it must be approved by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now we say, why in the world does he approve all of these, this temptation and persecution and the suffering? Why does he approve that? Well, his word tells us it's for our suffering. It's common to all of us as Christians. One of the facts of our Christian life is that we will suffer. We will go through fiery ordeals. We will go through temptation. We will be persecuted for the sake of Christ. That is a part of our lot as a child of God that is certain, that is sure. God allows it. He doesn't cause it, but He allows it. And His purpose in allowing it is as a test for us as a Christian. That's always God's purpose. The purpose for Him being permitting us to be tempted is a test for us. He wants us to pass the test. He wants us to successfully resist the temptation. And if we will walk in the power of God, if we'll walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to resist that temptation and therefore pass the test, and therefore God will be able to use that to grow us and to mature us. Passing God's test results in our maturing, in our growing as a child of God. And you know, God wants mature children. Now, He understands that we start out as babes in Christ, but as Peter wrote, we're not to stay babes. We're to grow. We're not to stay in a condition where we need the milk of the Word. We're to grow into a condition where we can feed on the meat of the Word. And you know, it's pretty common to see children of God, to see Christians who maybe have been Christians for a long time, but they're still babes in Christ. They're still desiring the milk of the Word instead of growing and maturing. You see, we can fail the test. And when we fail the test, we have to go back to square one, so to speak. When we fail the test, we may have to repeat it. We may have to repeat it more than once if we keep failing it. You see, we've got to pass this test before we can go on to the next stage of our growth as a child of God. So if we fail in this temptation, if we succumb to the temptation and sin, then we have to probably repeat it again. Repeat the temptation until we're able to pass it, until we're able to grow beyond that point. Now, this is one of the results of suffering. Suffering actually protects us from sinning. You know, when we're suffering, we are not tempted nearly as easy as when everything is fine and everything is rosy and the world looks good. We are protected from temptation by suffering. That's one of the benefits of it to us as a child of God. But first of all, we are going to suffer. We've already established that fact. That's God's Word. So don't buy in to the messages that you may hear that sound like if you're a child of God, then everything should be great and you should get whatever you pray for and you should get just as much money as you want and just as many good things as you want. You should be riding up on the cloud because you're a child of God. That's just not true. We're going to go through tribulation, trials, persecutions, sufferings because we're a child of God. You see, we're enemy of the devil now. When we become a child of God, remember, we become an enemy of the devil. And he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Fortunately, there's Christ, who came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So the devil's purpose in our temptation, in our trials, in our persecution, in our suffering, is to trip us up, to steal from us, to kill us, to destroy us. Oh, my friend, that's his purpose, to steal, kill, and destroy. There's no other purpose that the devil and the demons of hell have toward the child of God other than to steal from him or her, to kill, if possible, to destroy the life, to destroy the witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to destroy a marriage, to destroy a family. Oh, that's the purpose of the devil and the demons of hell. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So as Paul wrote there in Romans chapter 6 and 7, he commented about the dilemma that we're in as children of God. Yes, we desire to please God. We desire to walk with God. But we have within us the old nature. As Paul said, there is another force that is at work in me. With my mind, I desire to serve Christ. But there is the old nature still within me that leads me astray. And he said, it is no longer I, but sin acting within me, he said. But we're going to have these two natures as long as we walk in this body upon this earth. And for that duration, we're going to be tempted. We're going to be going through trials. We're going to be going through tribulations. We're going to be going through sufferings of various kinds. Now, some suffering comes upon us as a result of our own sowing, as a result of our own deeds. If we go out and steal $500 from the bank, then we've broken the law and we're going to suffer the consequences of breaking the law. That's a kind of suffering that we bring upon ourselves. Now, God's still working in that to teach us, to grow us, to mature us. But we're not to do that, as Peter said in verse 15 of chapter 4 here of 1 Peter. We are to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to focus on following Him. We're to focus on allowing Him to be Lord of our lives. But still, in this world, we will have persecution, we will have suffering, we'll have tribulation. We'll be going through what Peter refers to here in verse 12 as the fiery ordeal, the fiery trials that we go through. And he said, don't be surprised about it, for your brothers and sisters everywhere in the world are going through the same kind of suffering that you are. So, what's important is our response to the suffering. God looks at it as a test. The devil wants to trip us up, but God's purpose in that same thing is for us to go through it with flying colors, to come out on the other side victorious, to come out with growth, making us more and more like Jesus. So, although suffering is common to us, and suffering is something that we're going to experience, we're told, in fact, that Christ Himself suffered, and we are to suffer because He suffered. We'll suffer the same kind of persecution that He suffered, because the disciple is not above the master. We'll be persecuted in the same way that Jesus was persecuted. So, suffering is common to all of us as Christians. It is for our testing from God's point of view, so that we can grow through our suffering and as a result of our suffering. We're not to be ashamed of this. No, it is common to us. But in the name of Christian, of being a Christian, we're to glorify God, even in our suffering. We're to rejoice in our suffering. Verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 4 tells us that we're to rejoice in our suffering. Then we are to humble ourselves in chapter 5, verse 6. We're to be humble in all of this. And boy, does it bring about humility in us, doesn't it, when we suffer? Nothing brings about humility, I think, more than suffering, more than fiery ordeals. You see, in our suffering, we learn that our resources personally are very small and short. We learn that unless we depend upon Jesus, we're going to sink. Unless we depend on God to save us, we're going to fail. We're going to fall. We're going to succumb to the temptation. We're going to be swept under by the suffering and by the persecution. So it teaches us to look to God, to depend upon Christ, to allow Christ to be Lord of our lives. We're to cast all our anxiety in this suffering, in this tribulation. We're to cast all our anxiety upon God. Verse 7, chapter 5 of 1 Peter. Because God cares for us. He wants us to pass. He's given us the resources we need, the grace to go through whatever suffering. You may look at the suffering, and in that suffering, it's natural for us to say, oh, I can't bear this another minute. I can't do this. I can't go through this. But it is by the power of God that we will be able to go through it, that we'll be able to withstand. He has promised to give us grace sufficient to go through whatever He allows to come our way. Remember, dear friend, that whatever you're going through, God has allowed. God has put His stamp of approval on it. We may not like that. We may squirm and say, God, why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this? Why is this happening? But God tells us in His Word why it's happening. It's happening for our testing. It's happening for us to grow through this trial, through this suffering. So God's purpose is always for us to grow. And His desire is for us to succeed in this, to get through it, to weather the storm, so to speak, to come through on the other side, and to come through better, to come through stronger, to come through more mature as a child of God. So we're to realize that it happens. We're to rejoice in this suffering. Rejoice in the suffering? Yes, yes. Rejoice in the suffering. Why? Because we are allowed to suffer with Christ. And the Word says, if we suffer with Him, we shall also rule with Him. The Bible gives us another reason for our suffering, because we're part of the kingdom of God. Because we're part of the kingdom of God. We're His children. We suffer because Christ suffered, and we're going to suffer as well. So, dear friend, as Peter writes, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal you may find yourself in right now. And if you're not in it now, you probably will be tomorrow. Because you see, the suffering, the trials, the tribulation, the persecution is common to all of us as children of God. God allows it, and God allows it to happen to us for His purpose of testing our faith, testing us, and growing us and maturing us. So in the suffering, we're to be patient. In the suffering, we're to endure. In the suffering, we're to look to God for strength and allow Him to be our strength and allow Jesus Christ to be our Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to be present to comfort us even in our suffering. And we're to rejoice in our suffering. Why? Because it's God's method of growing us and fitting us for the kingdom of God. In it, we're to cast all our anxiety upon Christ. Be anxious for nothing, he writes, but in everything by prayer and supplication, take the problem to God. God, here it is. God, here it is. You know it. But God, I'm in it. I'm going through it. I'm suffering. God, be my strength. God, supply the grace I need to go through this. And Father, help me to rejoice in you. Help me to be thankful that I'm suffering because Christ suffered, and if I suffer with Him, I shall rule with Him. Father, help me to go through this test. Help me to pass this test. Your desire is that I pass the test. Your ever-present help in time of trouble, you're there to be my strength. You're there to restore me. You're there to strengthen me. You're there to grow me in this suffering, through this suffering. You're using it as an instrument for your glory. If I suffer with Christ, that means I'll rule and reign with Christ. God's purpose in suffering, my friend, is very clear in the Bible. We don't necessarily like it as human beings. Therefore, we resist the truth. And we still ask the question, oh, God, why am I having to go through this? Why did you permit this, God? Why did you allow this? Now, we don't necessarily understand the why, except what we have in God's Word, that suffering, first of all, is common to all of us, that persecution is common to all of us. We will go through it. It's God's purpose for us to go through it. It's God's purpose to grow us in it. God looks at it as a test that He desires that we pass and therefore grow. Suffering, frankly, fits us for the kingdom of God, as does nothing else. God uses the suffering to refine us. He uses the suffering to prune us. He uses the suffering to fit us for the kingdom of God and to make us more and more like Christ. And that, dear friend, is a good word for today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.